Blog Talk Radio.
One size does not fit all, especially when you're talking about your mortgage. Introducing the all-new Yourgage from Quicken Loans. Yourgage is better than a traditional mortgage because it conforms to your goals. In fact, it's the only home loan that allows you to custom design your term anywhere between 8 to 30 years. Here's how it works. Let's say you've got 8 years left on your mortgage and you want to refinance to a lower interest rate. The Quicken Loans 8-year fixed Yourgage can help. It keeps your term short and lowers your monthly payment. Just call Quicken Loans at 888-249-1425. The Quicken Loans Yourgage. It's a home loan on your...
Yeah, okay, I'm fucked up. I ain't gonna lie. I'm a drunk drive. Meditate. Let the trunk ride. I'm a dive. Meditate. But I ain't a mind freak. Get behind me. Do you want the right path? Take my time, see. Remind me. I'm fucking 9 to 5. I just vibe beat. 95% of the time, I'm on it. The other 5 don't exist. They miss. Release money from my list. I'm a trick. You on it or you is missing the fuck out.
Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Cannon in Washington. For the past 2 days, senior administration officials have been telling foreign leaders, diplomats, members of Congress, and journalists that, at first, they didn't believe Iran was involved either. The details of the alleged plot include a ne'er-do-well used car dealer who tried to hire a Mexican drug cartel to blow up the Saudi ambassador in a Washington, D.C. restaurant. On the face of it, unprofessional, uncharacteristic, sloppy, and insanely risky. But we're told that phone taps and bank transfers lead back to Tehran. And on Tuesday, Attorney General Eric Holder said that the two suspects were, quote, directed and approved by elements of the Iranian government, specifically senior member of the Quds Force. Iran vigorously denies it, but if they're true, the allegations have enormous implications. If they're not, U.S. credibility will be, to put it mildly, in the dumper. What parts of this story make you think that it might be true or not? Give us a phone call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk at npr.org. You can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Later in the program, Ariel Dorfman and an exile's lost library. But first, the alleged D.C. bomb plot. And we begin with Afshan Ostovar, a senior analyst at the Center for Naval Analyses, who's writing a book about Iran's Revolutionary Guards. And he joins us here in Studio 3A. Nice to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
And skeptics say that such a plot is totally uncharacteristic of the Quds Force. First of all, who are they, and what is characteristic of them?
Well, the Quds Force was originally established by Iran after the Iran-Iraq War, and it absorbed a portfolio that Iran had already sort of cultivated during the 80s, in which Iran would operate in places like Iraq or Afghanistan, but especially in Lebanon, to help other militant organizations sort of advance their causes. In the case of Lebanon, it was the Palestinians, and then it was the Lebanese Shia under Hezbollah. But after the Iran-Iraq War, the Quds Force sort of took over and became a more military division that focused on sort of promoting Iran's own strategy outside of its borders. So in this way, working with militant groups in Iraq or Lebanon was less to advance their causes, but rather to advance the causes of Tehran.
So first a Shia international, if you will, and then later maybe the CIA.
Yeah. They are equivalent, I would say. They're certainly a covert organization, and they have the sort of architecture of an intelligence organization like the CIA. But they also operate a little more closely like our own special forces, in that they work alongside foreign groups to help training, help facilitate, help with logistics, and help with funding. However, they don't get their hands dirty directly. They try to have plausible deniability in everything that they do. They're more about facilitating others than doing things themselves.
And they are, within the structure of the Iranian government, report directly to the spiritual leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, rather than to the President Ahmadinejad.
That's right. Our understanding is, even though they are technically one of the 5 divisions of the Revolutionary Guards, which is one military organization of Iran, their leadership circumvents that of the Revolutionary Guards and goes directly to the supreme leader. So from what we understand, the Quds Force operates sort of as a direct arm of the supreme leader's foreign policy, if you will.
So a group not uninvolved in various violent activities in many parts of the world, including in South America, but crossing the line to bomb a restaurant in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, this is frankly drastically out of step with their modus operandi. I mean, they of course do deal exclusively outside of Iran's borders, so that part is not outside of the line of what they would do. And they do operate in kinetic operations where they assassinate people or whatever, but they tend not to do that themselves. They work with others. So the idea of them wanting to assassinate somebody and working with others to do that in a foreign country is in and of itself not surprising, but for them to do it in the United States is unprecedented. And for them to work with the Mexican cartels, whether that's the Zetas or anybody else, is also unprecedented because at least nobody has known of a previous connection between the Quds Force or the IRGC or even the Iranian government and Mexican cartels. They do have long-established connections with, say, Chavez in Venezuela and other Central American groups, but not with the Mexicans. And what is really sort of, I think, that the strangest piece of this puzzle is sort of the linchpin, this Mansour Arbabsiar, this Iranian expatriate, Iranian-American used car salesman, that was really the middleman between the Iranian government or the Quds Force and these supposed Mexican cartels that turned out to be DEA agents. That really just doesn't fit what they usually do. They usually work with people that they've had long-standing ties with, well-vetted, well-trusted. To simply have a commander's cousin that happens to live in Texas and ask him to put these things together just doesn't fit.
Joining us now is Vali Nasser, who teaches international politics at Tufts University's Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy, and he joins us from his office in Boston. And it's nice to have you back with us again.
Thank you.
And let me put this the other way. Yes, it does seem unlikely, improbable, even bizarrely uncharacteristic. On the other hand, you've had the Attorney General of the United States, the Director of the FBI, the Secretary of State all go on the record to say, yeah, as unlikely as it is, we've got the goods.
Well, you know, I'm not in a position to challenge the evidence since not all of it is in the public domain. But what is clear is obviously the evidence on this side. In other words, this Mr. Arbabsiar and his activity is far more detailed. And when the threat goes from the United States and Mexico to Iran, it becomes far less clear as to where it leads. And there are and therefore, you know, that part is a bit enigmatic as to exactly whom in Iran was he in contact with, where the decision, if it actually was a decision within Iran, who made it. So that part is a little bit obscure right now.
So it could have been not simply a command decision by leadership elements of the Quds Force, but a renegade group?
Well, you know, the Quds Force is a fairly disciplined organization that executes policies that are decided by Iran's political leadership. We don't have an example of the Quds Force having gone rogue or elements of it having gone rogue. But again, it's not clear as to who exactly in Iran made this order. The complaint does say it's the leadership of the Quds Force, but you know how that was determined, which leaders, none of that is very clear. So, and that I think is very critical because that would explain a lot of things about this case that don't add up.
Some have speculated that there are rivalries within Iran, and that's not a surprise. As you say, the Quds Force has largely been, as far as anybody knows, fairly disciplined, but that one faction may be trying to make another faction look bad.
I don't think that that's at play here, largely because the Quds Force is, again, as I said, it's a very professional outfit, and it's very closely tied to the Supreme Leader, and the Supreme Leader has, by and large, already defeated the president. And I don't believe that the president is in a position to essentially carry out an operation within the Revolutionary Guards that is outside of the domain of the Supreme Leader. The rogue element argument does not really, to me, is not very credible.
We want to hear your thoughts about what parts of this story make sense to you and which parts do not. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Worth noting, a State Department spokesman did say today U.S. government has been in contact with the Iranian government on this point. The spokesman did not say who talked to whom or what they said or what was said back, but there has been a point of contact established. Let's begin with Carl. Carl's with us from Ashland in Oregon.
Hi. Two things I wanted to say. First off, I think in general, people that aren't familiar with the criminology of Latin America, Central America, Mexico, are unaware of the ever-present rising power of Mexican influence. It used to be that they were glorified middlemen as far as their crime organizations went, but pretty much everything since Pablo Escobar died has been kind of the downward spiral of South American influence in the crime world. So they might have had, the Iranians might have had good contacts with the South Americans, but this could have been an attempt, a trust exercise, if you will, in making contacts within the Mexican cartels, which are now the preeminent force in the whole Atlantic, you know, sphere of crime influence in general. Secondly, using criminals, civilian criminals, to do your dirty work is a proud tradition of various deviant superpowers in the history of the world. And doing it rather blatantly and slapdashedly and having a broad swath effect, a shotgun blast, if you will, of attack, is also something that very intelligent regimes, sophisticated regimes, have done. I, you know, would point first and foremost to Nazi infiltration of American organized crime through and also British organized crime through counterfeiting that nearly bankrupt, you know, England, re-bankrupt England and the U.S. just through, you know, super bills.
And the Central Intelligence Agency used the mafia to try to assassinate Fidel Castro. So we get your point, but turning back to Afshan Ostevar, has any history that the Quds Force, the Iranians, have done this?
They've certainly worked with criminal elements outside of Iran, and like I said in my opening comments, you know, the particulars about this are not necessarily what's surprising. What's surprising is that the Quds Force has been pretty effective at shaping their own program, their own operations in places like Iraq or Lebanon or Afghanistan, and picking at the United States and doing certain operations against the United States without really having a direct one-to-one link to anything that they do. This, however, is such a dramatic attack for them to attack the United States.
It would be an act of war.
Yeah, the country that they are most fearful of. That, I mean, the one thing that I think Valley Nass would agree with me that Iran is really, and Iran's leaders are most committed to, is protecting the regime from a military engagement with the United States. That would be disastrous for the regime. And so picking a fight with the United States in this way, using sort of unvetted characters, whether they be criminals or not, I think is what's surprising here.
Carl, thanks very much for the phone call. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Afshan Ostevar of the Center for Naval Analysis and Valley Nasser of Tufts University's Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy are with us. We're talking about the alleged D.C. bomb plot, Iran, the Quds Force, Saudi Arabia, the United States. Go figure. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan. The man arrested in the D.C. bomb plot is a failed businessman, former used car salesman from Texas. Disorganized, often disheveled, his neighbors say, hardly a professional killer, according to those around him. He now faces federal charges of orchestrating a global terror plot, the real hand behind the operation, according to U.S. prosecutors, Iran, specifically the Quds Force, a covert arm of Iran's Republican Guard. But many terrorism experts say this botched plot does not fit with the sophistication and methods we usually see from this outfit. So what parts of the story make you think it might be true or not? 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Our guests are Afshan Ostevar, a senior analyst at the Center for Naval Analysis, where he's writing a book about the Revolutionary Guards, and Valley Nasser, professor of international politics at Tufts University's Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy. He served as senior advisor to the U.S. Special Representative for Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Yo, what's up? Real talk.
way they do to that radio, where we feature the local artists that are spitting the flame, to national artists that are changing the game. You can catch our broadcast each and every night, Monday to Sunday, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. We'll feature some of the local artists that are spitting the flame to national artists that are changing the game. The number is 347-934-0318. All you got to do is press 1 on the dial. You know what I'm saying. It is what it is. And like I said before, if you're ready for an experience of a lifetime, the Urban Experience is here to stay. You get a chance to join your host, J-Dawg, your girl Beanie Weenie, and your homegirl Riding Shotgun. D-Dub, real talk, that's what's up, that's what's happening. This is where they do to that radio room, featuring these local artists that are spitting the flame to national artists.
Ambassador Richard Holbrooke and Valley Nasser, another element of this, why the Saudi ambassador?
Well, the enmity between Iran and Saudi Arabia has been long-running. It goes back, actually, to the early years of the revolution. But in recent years, tensions between them have gone up. If you read what in the WikiLeaks what the Saudi king suggested to the United States to do, which was a phrase such as "you have to kill the snake by its head," almost egging the United States to take on Iran. The two have also clashed in Bahrain. They are on opposite sides in Syria, and the relations between them have grown quite frosty. So it's quite conceivable that Iran would like to send a strong signal of intimidation to Saudi Arabia. That is not the surprising part of this. As Afshin also mentioned, the surprising part is doing it in the United States and almost inviting the United States to get in the middle of what is a regional rivalry between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Even the new
Oh, the next guest is a very, very, very special person, a very close friend of mine, a very dear poet to all of us, and it's a pleasure to have him here. It's definitely a pleasure to bring him out to all of you. Without any further shenanigan, please give it up for Saul Williams.
Breakbeats have been the missing link connecting the diasporic community to its drum-woven past. Whereas the quantized drum has allowed the whirling mathematicians to calculate the ever-changing distance between rock and stardom, we do hereby declare reality unkept by the changing standards of dialogue. Statements such as, keep it real, especially when punctuating or anticipating modes of ultra-violence inflicted psychologically or physically, will henceforth be seen as retroactive and not representative of the individually determined is. Motherfuckers better realize, now is the time to self-actualize. Studies show that when a given norm is changing to face of the unchanging, the remaining contradictions will parallel the truth. Equate rhyme with reason, sun with season, reject mediocrity. Your current frequencies of understanding outweigh that which has been given for you to understand. The current standard is the equivalent of an adolescent who signals the diet of an infant. The rapidly changing body would acquire dysfunction and formative symptoms and could not properly mature on a diet of applesauce and crust peers. Light years are interchangeable with years of living in darkness. The role of darkness is not to be seen as or be created with ignorance, but with the unknown and the mysteries of the unseen. Thus, in the name of Robeson, Godson, Herson, Akhenaten, Hatshepsut, Blackfoot, Helen, Finnan, Kahlo, Kali, the Three Marias, Tara, Lilith, Lord, Whitman, Baldwin, Ginsburg, Tolkien, Lumumba, Gandhi, Gibran, Shabazz, Siddhartha, Medusa, Devera, Joseph Rand, Wright, Banneker, Tupman, Hema, Holiday, Dane, the Colte, Morrison, Joplin, the Boys, Clark, Shakespeare, Rock, Marginal, Ellen J., Carter, Gay, Hathaway, Hendrick, Kuti, Dickerson, Ripperton, Mary, Isis, Teresa, Hans, Levy, Tesla, Blatt, Rumi, Fellini, Michelle, Nostradamus, Nefertiti, Laurent, Shiva, Yanesha, Yamaya, Oshun, Obatala, Ogun, Kennedy, King, Four Little Girls, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Keller, Vito, Perone, Marley, Magdalene, Cosby, Shakur, those who burn, those still aflame, and the countless unnamed. We claim the present as the present, as the hereafter. We are unraveling our neighbors so that we may ingest the sun. We are not afraid of the darkness. We trust that the moon shall guide us. We are determining the future at this very moment. We know that the heart is the philosopher's stone. Our music is our alchemy. We stand as the manifested equivalent of the three buckets of water and a handful of minerals, thus realizing that those very buckets turned upside down supply the protective factor of forever. Let your children name themselves and claim themselves as the new day. For today, we are determined to be the channelers of these changing frequencies into songs, paintings, writings, dance, drama, photography, carpentry, craft, love, and love. We emit every instrument, acoustic, electronic, every so-called gender, race, sexual preference, every birth son as beings of sound to acknowledge their responsibility to uplift the consciousness of the entire fucking world. Any utterance unaimed will be disclaimed, will be maimed, two rappers slain.
Think about the day I met the perfect stranger. I think about us and I think about the day I got a wrap around your finger. I think about us. The sun was shining, the Lord was smiling on me, the love was calling us. I had my mind made. I can't stop loving you. I can't help myself. I can't get it over you. No matter what I tell myself, I thought I'd ever love anyone else. Now we know. I think about her. And I think about the day we left without speaking. I think about her.
Baby, look at me, y'all. Put that important in the front to the corner wall. old DJ. DJ, whether you're chilling in the club or on the freeway, to make your heart a day, just to be easy. Let's say DJ, DJ.
I can't believe something about that feel like breaking.
now read and listen to The Economist on your iPhone and iPad.
The apps are free to download from the App Store, and everyone receives the editor's weekly selection of must-read articles. The Economist on iPhone and iPad. Available at the App Store now.
It's Monday, October the 10th. From The Economist in London, this is Money Talks, a weekly discussion of issues in the worlds of finance, business, and economics. I'm Robert Guest, the business editor.
And I'm Jonathan Rosenthal, the banking correspondent.
This week, we'll be talking about solar power, about recapitalizing Europe's banks, and about the effectiveness of cold medicine.
But let's start with solar power. Robert, all the talk in Washington at the moment is about the disaster of Solyndra. Is solar power finished?
No. I think a lot of people are taking away the wrong message from the Solyndra scandal. What you had there was one company to which the Obama administration gave more than $500 million of loan guarantees shortly before it went bust in order to provide a photo opportunity for President Obama. What that illustrates is exactly the wrong way about going about promoting green energy. What you miss, and what a lot of people miss from the stories, is that one of the reasons why it went bust is because the cost of what it was making, the cost of solar technology, has been plummeting recently, which actually makes it more hopeful for the future. It makes it more likely to be a cost-effective answer to the world's energy problems, at least in sunny places. So it's actually a very hopeful story on the energy front. But if you're going to encourage it properly, you can't have government saying, we're giving money to this particular company. You've got to have them saying, well, we're going to set broad-based incentives for low-carbon technology, such as a carbon tax.
The argument that many people make against broad-based incentives is that they do not do enough to spur research and development in some of the very tricky and difficult areas of science that might lead to next year's or next decade's breakthrough, rather than the windmill that you can pop up on a hill right now.
Well, there's certainly a case for government subsidies to basic research, and that happens. What there is not a case for is government subsidies to specific companies pursuing their own sort of specific markets. If private financiers will not finance it, it shouldn't happen. Moving on to a much more short-term crisis, the euro. Europe's in a great deal of trouble if governments don't act very soon. At least that's what Angela Merkel and Nicolas Sarkozy seem to be suggesting, but they're not telling us what they are going to do. Where are we on the euro crisis?
Exactly. Unfortunately, we're nowhere close to where we should be going. The weekend summit between Merkel and Sarkozy produced nothing more than an agreement to reach an agreement. So we're still in the planning to have a plan stage.
If we did have a plan, what ought it to be?
There are two elements, and the first is dealing with the sovereign crisis, but that is a large and complex element. Right now, the focus is on insulating the banks to enable them to withstand one or more sovereign defaults. We all know that Greece is going to go. The question is, can we let it go without bringing down the rest of the banking system?
So we're trying to make the banks withstand the possible default of a European country other than Greece.
We're firstly trying to get them to the point where they can withstand Greece. Greece is tiny, but when one speaks to bankers, there is still real concern about the contagion effect. So we need to have enough capital in the system to say Greece will be no problem. And we probably want enough capital in the system to also say that the recession that we're about to go into or seem likely to go into will not be a problem. And potentially the default or at least write-downs on some of the debt of some of the other peripheral countries can also be dealt with. This brings us into a tricky area because if one says there needs to be enough capital simply to deal with Greece, we're talking about relatively small sums of money. I mean, still billions and tens of billions, but relatively small. If we're saying that we need to survive the collapse of Italy or Spain, we're getting into several hundred billion to a trillion euros of extra capital in the banking system. And that's clearly ridiculous. We have to find a line somewhere in the middle of those.
Where's the money going to come from?
This is also the area of great debate between whether it should come from the European Bailout Fund, the EFSF, or whether it should come from the individual countries. It seems that the most sensible plan, but knowing Europe, it's not necessary that the most sensible plan will be followed, would be for it to come from the EFSF. The reason for that is that we don't want countries that are bailing out their banks to in turn have their own credit ratings downgraded. That just leads to a dangerous downward spiral. And we're already seeing the potential for that. Also at the weekend, we saw Dexia, an agreement reached to break up this monstrous Franco-Belgian lender that has a huge balance sheet of loans, mainly to small municipalities across Europe. Guaranteeing those debts is going to take public guarantees of 90 billion euros from France and Belgium. Now, that's enough already to start putting the credit ratings of both of those countries in doubt.
Now, given that all of this pain is coming from both companies and governments making foolish decisions about the risks that they were taking, how on earth do you make sure that the pain falls where it ought to discourage a repeat of this without setting fire to the whole system?
Dealing with moral hazard is central to this whole problem, especially if we want to ensure that there isn't a repeat, we need to make sure that bankers, and more importantly, the people who finance them, their bondholders and their shareholders, are well aware that they are taking risks. These are the sorts of investors that ought to be watching the banks very closely to be making sure they're not taking the risks that they have been taking. However, dealing with moral hazard in the middle of a crisis is incredibly difficult, and a lot of bankers out there are saying, deal with the crisis first, worry about moral hazard later. And clearly that is an argument that one would expect them to make.
It's also very hard to do because you strike the deals that cause the banks to be recapitalized in the midst of the crisis. And then if you get it right, the crisis ends, but you have to stick to the deals that you made before. So you kind of do have to deal with moral hazard in the middle of the crisis.
I agree. What makes it slightly tricky is that a lot of the risks that banks have been taking were forced upon them by regulation, very badly written regulation. So in a sense, we're talking about punishing banks for holding bonds issued by their governments when, in fact, many of the rules we wrote said they have to hold these because they're safe. So this really is not a cut-and-dried naughty bankers being bailed out by the public. In fact, it's naughty bankers and naughty governments and overborrowed publics are all complicit in this. I think the most sensible thing to do right now would be a broad-based capital injection into all banks, probably using European money from the bailout fund, much like the American TARP of 2008. Good banks can then generate profits and repay this, ideally within, let's say, 3 years. Those banks that are really struggling and are unable to repay this within 3 years, once the systemic crisis has passed, it ought to then be hit with very punitive conversions that dilute their existing shareholders.
If you were a voter or a protester on the streets at the moment, what would you be demanding?
I think that right now it's very easy and tempting to argue no more bailouts. And I must say instinctively, I wish we were in that position. What we are faced with, though, is a banking system that really is on the verge of collapse. And just about every senior banker out there is talking about cutting assets, cutting loans, as the only way to try and shrink their banks down into this funding straitjacket that they're in. And if this continues for another few months, we're looking not just at potentially a second leg of a recession, we're potentially looking at a very deep depression. And from the necessary, if somewhat unpalatable, medicine that we want Europe's banks to take, we move on to the unnecessary medicine people are taking for colds. What's happening in the world of the common cold?
That's right, the cold season is beginning, and that means it's the time of year when companies that make cold medicine have to try very hard to persuade you to buy it. Now, that's difficult, because no company can actually say that it's good.
My mother, all of my memories involve you and your addiction. You and your crack pipe. You and the countless addicts you brought in and out of my life. You eat, breathe, and sleep cocaine. The moment you put the needle in your arm, you take the mother out of your name. But see, you've never been a mother. And I finally get it. Though this truth brings so much pain, you couldn't be my mother because you were addicted to cocaine. Do you want to come off bitterly? But I don't mind. Bittersweet? Because that's what my life has been. I just want to become at peace with my reality. I still love you to death. I still pray that one day you'll get clean. I still have faith. It's only like a muscle tree. In my perfect world, we're best friends. I wish I could rewind time just so you have a chance to live life again. But things change. It hurts me that I'm not sure of the answer. But all I know with certainty is I love you with all of me. And no matter what, you will always be my mother.
Poetry hurts. Jesus.
Hey, it's your girl, B-Dub, reporting live on Where They Do That At Radio. I'm calling all performing artists and groups ready to now to start in the next Fame Exchange DVD series. We're taping live in Atlanta and in cities near you. The benefits of being a Fame Exchange participant include paid booking opportunities, publicity in mass media, career consulting, and unlimited networking. For additional information, call B-Dub at 678-389-6869 or follow me on Twitter at B-Dub-ATL. Remember to tune in to J-Dog, B-Dub, and Beanie Weenie on Where They Do That At Radio. You know the number, 347-934-0318. Holla at your girl.
Yo, you know what it is. Y'all better get y'all mind right. I hope y'all paying attention to that clip, man. Yo, I didn't write this stuff. This is the groove. This is what's going on in the world today. Real talk.
I made the switch, but what the fuck you tryna get? I'm after money like a trick. Money rubbing up me with a hoo-wop on his hip. Or either shorty sticking many up, run your click. See, I found a game to make it young and shoot his brother quick. Make a gorilla homie snitch, stall clerk sell outdated items, make it young and sick for the privacy. Why the devil got me by my dick? Heaven in me when I spit. Caught up in these money fits in a pit of rage. Trying to walk as Jesus did. I slipped the root of evil, got my soul on some real fucking quick. Get a hammer, dump a clip. Wonder why it came to this. I lost my mind at last. Society has caused a flip. As I walk past, begging hands got me feeling sick. Seeing how this world can change. Fighting, trying to stay the same. Money thoughts attack the brain. Battles of the mental strain. And yo, this money has an eye, but I'm peering through this window pane. Game.
Still I can't let my guard down. Nothing but the money I don't know. Still I can't let my guard down. Nothing but the money I don't know.
Fuck is my mind, lost in the days. Pray towards the sun is like the clouds is the bay. Trying to get through life, have a prince one day. But the way it's looking now, I feel that baby looking great. Yeah, I seen him at the top, so I kept writing rhymes. Knowing I was far better than them bullshit lines. You forgetting life is short. We live it to the fullest, and I'm asking what they try. So like, I doubt that you can do it, youngin'. I will always be far ahead of my city, yet they still love me, and I still love me. So I can never fall off. And look, I ain't for my people, ain't gon' never be the cause. So I keep
Let me waste my lyrical dumbbell. I'm trying to make it out this city, desperate for hell. Won't see many cry, young and begging for help. They try to pray, but they better off banging themselves.
Still, I can't let my dog down. Nothing but the money, I don't know.
I'm
Hey, Chase, I'm definitely checking that.
Yeah, say that again.
I said AYCHIZH is, you know, I'm checking that. Not too much as, I mean, hold on. Everything's good, Jay. Everything's great. So,
True that.
I hope,
you know, you can't ask. Man, everything's good, you know what I'm saying? It's good, you know what I'm saying? I just got to get it, you know, it's crunch time right now. It's time to, you know, get it up, get it in, and do what we got to do. But other than that, you know what I'm saying?
Even the bad is good, Jay.
That's right, even the bad. That's right.
The market is changing so much, man. It's beautiful. I love music right now. I don't know what you're hearing on your end, but it's beautiful where I'm at. Like, everything's nice and positive. People making love songs. I swear a lot of people getting pregnant this winter, man.
Well, that usually happens, you know what I'm saying? When the weather starts to change, you know, hey, other things start to change too. And usually after that, 9 months later, you know, you out there with a baby carriage and all that good stuff, you know. Real talk, it is what it is, you know. That usually
make sure
what happens.
Prepare for that, you know, make sure you're prepared for that, man. Have a nice catalog ready, but.
Okay. I would so, but you know, it's good that you're thinking about the fans and that capacity, definitely, you know, making music for all seasons, you know what I'm saying? Because music is a time and thing, man. It's a time and industry, you know what I'm saying? So you definitely got to release certain cycles of music to represent the signs of the time, you know what I'm saying? So that's what's up.
That's what's true. Yo, I just feel like everybody's on a nice positive note, man. So just stay positive, everybody, and keep going up.
Yo, that's what I'm talking about. You got to go up, man. It's not about going down, and it's not about being laid down. It's about, yo, staying focused and keep going up. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the only way you're going to come up is to go up. You know what I'm saying? Put your mind and your focus and all of your energies turned towards something positive. You know, so that gives you, you know, a very positive outlook on life.
Hey,
I mean, that's real talk. Very positive outlook on life.
You got you get any more intake? Input on that $200 million situation?
Well, actually, I did. I got a whole bunch of folks that were saying, man, if they had $200 million right about now, it ain't no telling. You know, one guy actually, he was real creative. This one caller actually sent an email saying, if they had $200 million, what they would do is basically go hire them some private security. I'm going to read it. You know, I tell you what, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read what he said. This dude really was, like, really creative. And in that short period of time, he put a lot of thought in what he would do with that $200 mil, but it was crazy. It was super crazy. He said he would basically hire him some security, and I think he said he would go to the local, local unemployment office and slap the first 20 people out behind the desk or something. I got to read it. He's tripping, though. Yo, what if y'all, yo, people off the video. People, yo, they creative. They definitely getting it in. They definitely doing what they do, man. So that was up. But, yo, man, you had a chance to think about it a little bit harder in terms of what you would do, man, with that $200 mil.
No, it's no question, man. Sky's the limit. Well, not the limit, but it's above that. But $200 million, that's a lot of money. So everybody on this line, like I said, would be perfect right now. And a lot more people. A whole lot more people, you know, because with all that money, you got a long time to invest, I guess you could say.
Yeah, invest, exactly. You know,
if
you got $200 million and everybody know you got $200 million, that shit ain't going to last long.
Yeah. No, I mean, it won't last long unless you flip it into other businesses. Once you have business, like, that's a situation where people aren't working, right? You basically become...
That's right. You got to create a job. That's right. Put up a rent.
See, a lot of rich people out here, man, they got money, man, and they're just holding on to it like other people can't work for them. That's why I say I work with you. You don't work for free. On my day off, I know that you still work for me. Work with me, I'm sorry.
Whatever, work with me, man. You know, but, you know, that was a very interesting, you know, perception, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people, you know, that, you know, really are speaking in terms of just really where you need to be in terms of spending and just really this whole outlook, because if you're not careful, man, you know what I'm saying, you can make some very fatal mistakes, you know what I'm saying? But
that's like somebody's property going up for foreclosure, but inside of their house they have $50,000 of equipment or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
You have value in other things. So when a person has
right.
so much money, you got to start dipping that into other things that can you know, expand that money some more or and help other people. So just keep that
that's
in mind,
right,
man. If you get $200 million,
it's gonna make more money for you, or it's gonna create more opportunity for you where you can make more. You know?
Hey, yo, and just remember one thing: when you get a whole bunch of money, I mean, because this is stuff that I tell myself too. You know, once you get a whole bunch of money, a lot of people are just gonna come out of nowhere, expecting things. You know, things that they never even expected before. It's just they just expect you to do it at that time because you have the money.
That's right.
Understand those people, man. You gotta cut them early.
Right. It's like I tell them now, man. I ain't got it, man. I mean, I'll see what I can do, but, you know, hey, you better go ahead and practice that now, man. You know, help people that want to help themselves. That's what I say, man. You know, help people that want to help themselves. Always be looking to help somebody, you know, because everybody needs, you know what I'm saying? But you can't be a sucker either, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you a quick story. I'm going to jump to the rotation. Man, I was in Florida attending Full Sail, and this gentleman came up to me, man. I was, like, standing in line, you know. I was working a little part-time, little gig, so I was cashing my check or whatever. And this dude came in, you know, and he had his newspaper article, you know what I'm saying? And he gave me the whole song and dance for how his family just was, you know, was in a fire, and they lost everything. You know, they were burned out. He had his wife and his kids all out there in the parking lot. And he asked me did I have, like, any, you know, spare change that I could, like, give him. So I was so compelled, you know, from the story. I mean, he had the newspaper clips and everything, you know. So I felt real bad. So, you know, I gave this dude, like, $30, man. $30 that I didn't even have. You know, $30 supposed to have been going on rent. You know what I'm saying? That I just, like, I felt compelled. Yo, check this shit out, right? About 4 weeks later, I'm on my way to work. And I see this dude, but I, you know how you look at people like you know him? You know
pushing
you know him. Yeah, so I'm like, I'm on the bus, right? You know, and I'm like checking him out. And I was like, I know this dude, you know, but, you know, it's like, nah, because this dude here, he was all bezeled out, you know what I'm saying? Cut all nice and neat, nice clothes, had $500 shoes on, a $1,200 suit, you know what I'm saying? Yo, I look in this nigga's face, man, and it's this dude, man, the same dude that just, like, scammed me out of $30. Man, this dude, like, man, when he saw me, man, he caught fire, man, like lightning and ran off the bus, man. So it was like, that was a lesson,
he,
man. It's like
He was on the bus with the $500 shoes?
Yeah, you know, I don't know who else was going to scam, man. I checked him out from head to toe, and when he saw me and I saw him, I was like, yo, I know that dude, and he made his way to get up off that bus. I'm like, that shit's crazy. People will expect you, how you want to say it. If you're not careful, when you got money, you like you just said, people will actually expect you because you got it to do certain things. And then there's other folks that will, you know, use what they can to get it up out you. That's real. You know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is, man,
just love me for me, world. Love me for me, please. Love me for me.
There you go. Love. Say it again, H.
Love me for me. Just love me for myself, man. Don't love me because you see or you hear. Love me for me. I mean, it's good to see and hear, but still love me for me at the end of the day.
True that. True that. That's what's up. That's real, man. Let it be genuine. Let it come from the heart, man. You know what I'm saying? When you do things that come from the heart, you know what I'm saying? You'd be surprised how far that goes, man. Real talk. Oh, way to do that radio is all about the urban experience. Yo, H, I got to pick another caller right quick. But you already know how we do it, my brother, man. Tell them one more time. Tell them how to get at you, man, for we switch gears, man.
Oh, yeah, AYCHIZ.com. AYCHIZ.com, not AYCHIZ.com. AYCHIZ.com. Mr. AYCHIZ on YouTube and Twitter at AYCHIZ.
So I hope y'all got all that, man. You know, don't make me have to repeat that. Don't make him have to repeat that again. Y'all know what it is.
Okay.
Get out of
my WM Watch Me.
Yes,
AYCHIZ.
That's what's up. Real talk, man. I'm wilding, man. This is my dude, H. Is real talk. This is an urban experience like never before. We'll definitely take you on a ride on the wild. So I'm going to take one more call before we switch gears up in here. Let's see what's up. Let's see what's happening. Let's see where you're doing it at, man. Let's see. Yo, caller, last digit of your number is 5610. You're definitely in the building on WTDTA Radio. Who we got checking in, man?
What's going on, Jay? It's Legion.
Yo, what's good with you? What's good, man? Holding them down, doing what they do, man. What's happening with you?
Ah, chilling, man. Just got a chance to relax with some fam earlier today, and now I'm getting ready to go in here and check on some mixes.
Okay? Definitely can't. You can't go wrong with that, man. You know what I'm saying? Dad, you got to be one of the hardest working dudes I know, man. It's like when you ain't sleeping, you in the booth, man. You are everywhere. But, yo, that's what's up.
I'm just trying to keep up, man. Stay ahead of the game.
Hey, that's what's up. That's the name of the game. Stay ahead of the name of the game is stay ahead of the game. Because if you do that, things will never be the same, you know, because the only thing that comes to somebody that sleeps is a dream. But you know what I'm saying? We can rest after the dream has been achieved. You already know what it is. Real talk, man. You gotta do just that, man. You gotta stay focused. You gotta stay hungry. You gotta stay consistent with the inconsistencies of the day to day. Now how about that? Think about that for a second. Put that in your pack and smoke it. Real talk, you already know what it is. On What They Do Air Radio, is all about the urban experience, man. A lot of stuff is happening, bro. A lot of stuff is definitely happening. So, you know what I'm saying? You definitely got to get in where you fit in and definitely recognize and know, you know, really, really what's good, man. Because, you know, hey, things are moving at the speed of, I don't even say the speed of sound anymore, like the speed of light, right?
Hey, you know what that's what's up.
Stuff is moving, dude. So hey, we gotta focus on that, man. The joint, why not? Tell us about this joint, man. Cause you know what, it's gonna make me play this thing one more time on the ground. I'm kind of feeling it. You know what I'm saying? I'm a sucker for good music, man. So real talk, you know what I'm saying? A good blend, good track. You got my definite attention, especially when you're saying some trill shit. Tell us a little bit about that joint, why not, man?
The joint, why not? It's featuring my boy Chill from Chicago. Shout out to him. I'm going to try to have him on the air tomorrow because he got some stuff in the works. But we was over at the house, man. I got a little set up over here at the crib. And he had said something. And I guess he had some idea. And I was like, why not? You know? So it kind of went from there. And so I did the hook, wrote the hook, and like I said, he got the first two verses, and I just jumped on the third. He got the songs playing on a couple other places, and it's getting some real good feedback. So I said, man, let me go ahead and put it up here, so see what kind of reaction it gets. So, you know, I appreciate, you know, you spinning it and all the positive feedback that it's getting. I appreciate the negative feedback, if it's getting any negative feedback, you know.
Okay, hey, you appreciate all the way around. As long as you know what's up, what's happening here in the building, hey, it is what it is. I'm loving this dude, man. On What They Do To That Radio, it is, yo. Fans are definitely feeling it. Joint's called Why Not. Real talk, that's my man, Legion the Legend, definitely representing on What They Do To That Radio. Legion, let them know how they can get at you, bro.
Definitely. Last.fm, search Legion the Legend, teamlegion.info, Legion the Legend at Twitter. And you can always check me out Where They Do That at radio.webley.com.
Real talk, y'all already know what it is. This is the urban experience like never before. We'll definitely catch you on the ride, on the wild side. This is what it's about, man. It's definitely about these dudes definitely getting it in, where they fit in. You know what I'm saying? You got to definitely do that, man. You got to do that. But yo, we're going to crank it up. We're going to do what we do. So just ride with me, vibe with me for a second, man. Check this out.
he could die any second. How much longer it's gonna take? Don't get it over with. Oh, what if you were in my lover's bed? You might be the dopest. I would flush it down the toilet like the boys in blue when they come through with the moves and they kicking down the door and they don't care who they shoot. But we do care who they shoot, so we do what we must do. So we act like we run track, then we run straight to the back. But they coming from the back, so we run back to the front. They say get down on your knees. We say what the fuck we want. They want cheese, they want bread, they want dough, they want more. Then I wanna give them, but if I keep talking, they won't know that my cousin in the back. And we call them roller coaster slash plumber task runner, and he found them. You all got four niggas wanna take this fight, don't take this bottle Cadillac. If you say real talk, I probably won't trust you. If you want to go to war, the gun's my pressure. Even Jesus had 12 disciples on the level. Trigger, whatever. I'm like George, you're new to this part of town. Your white teeth, well, to me, look like a nightgown. Make your mama proud, take that thing two sides down. Then you look like the man that you are, or what you could be. I can give a damn about your car, but then I would be. If it was considered a classic, before the drastic change in production when fossil metal instead of plastic value is what I'm talking about. Take two of these and walk it out. You'll be the reason they talk it out. You can't be the king in the parking lot forever. Not saying I'm the best, but till they find something better, I am here, no fear, right now. Hey. Then I walk it out, 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 I wish I walk it out, I wish I walk it out, I wish I walk it out, then east I walk it out, I walk it out. Like that last shot of yak at the club, but the bank is so enclosed, and I'm attached to my bug, been slamming Cadillac doors, you know what it was, cuz examining everything platinum to the saddest hood, cuz voila, hit me with diamond, but that don't mean shit, designing fire line patterns since I was 17, kid, on Southern playlist, the info listen, so to please, cuz she said nothing but juice, it's all they am, they can see, it's like a master business, cuz everybody got crowns, I'll change to ace of spades, so, and boom, bow down, now the king's wing, the back page. Just come clean, son, swing from back like my babies, acting like you crazy. Daddy fat don't like that misbehaving. Ace out up and juice is bound and something else that big hate and tell. Get the drink, sugar, beat his mouth, dropping bombs like a North Korean.
Yeah. You ready,
I'm ripping them seeds from Tallahassee.
passing any tests. I'm ready to stop. No production is in my fucking. It's definitely know what time it is. You know, folks, when it's full of fat.
Let me down, I pray to Lord my soul to keep. I pray to Lord my soul to
take.
I'm ready to
turn. I'm ready.
All y'all motherfuckers come with me. I won't see no crying at my funeral.
This is my man, DJ and Legend. The Jones call, why not? We're going to be hearing this live. Real talk, you know what it is. Get your mind right.
I'm
Let's just subvert our unfriendly left. You drop it. the cake. Just take the cake and eat it too. What I told while we had sex and sex.
And if you want beef, then bring the rockets. You say plan ain't nothing to fuck with. Sleep from the motherfucking thumbs and busting. You say plan ain't nothing to fuck with.
Radio Rookies Podcast. These podcasts are stories created by teens previously broadcast on WNYC Radio. Radio Rookies teaches you the tools you need to create your own radio story. Radio Rookies helped me learn that the power of the mic is a beautiful thing. Now let's put this real story by New York City T.
You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC. Video games. Millions of people play some form of them, from Farmville on Facebook to more complex games on consoles like the Xbox, PlayStation, and the most popular Wii. Industry experts say 40% of all game players are female. Players of hardcore games like Grand Theft Auto are mostly male, which means the games are designed with boys and men in mind. And 17-year-old radio rookie Jessica Cernadas finds that very frustrating.
Oh my god, the pink dude is right there. Just learn to die. Yes.
I love video games. They're crazy. You talk to the game, you scream at the game. Unfortunately, my older sister Priscilla and I share a room.
Oh my god, Jess, I just got home from work.
She suffers a lot.
We're going to have to work out a deal because I can't watch you play this game for 5 hours.
I blame my mom.
Well, you never like dolls.
I chopped off all the hair.
And I didn't care.
So now I'm just home, alone. And I want to let go of all this anger that I have inside of me. But the thing is, what game should I play? I usually want to play a button-mashing game. It makes my anger dissipate. Dissipate. Mwahaha, you mortal fool. But recently, it hasn't been helping. I used to play only with my friends. But now I play hardcore games online, where most of the other gamers are guys. And they're just really rude.
Whoever I've seen that's a girl sucks at it.
Damn it, man. That's Uzi, one of my friends from school. And this is his bestie's opinion.
There is no girl gamers.
Well, Riaset, I'm not a unicorn. Damn it, man.
Every time there's a girl talking on a mic, I try to flirt with her.
It doesn't surprise me.
Do you think you're better than most guys?
Hell yes. Stephanie's one of the best gamers I know.
I mean, if you ever see me play Call of Duty, I have beaten most guys in my school. So, yes.
Okay, so let's say you've been playing against a guy, right? And you told them that you were a girl. For whatever reason, you just told them. Would they not believe you, or have they not believed you?
Well, I told this one dude, and he didn't believe me because I beat him by 1 point. And he goes, oh, okay, if you were a girl, then show me some teeth. I was like, no.
I just want to grab my scythe of doom and slash everyone I meet. Like this 13-year-old kid that I met at GameStop.
They're girls, and they're supposed to worry about makeup and stuff.
Really?
Other stuff like what? Chores or something?
A 13-year-old is stuck in the 50s? It's hard to get any confidence when you're constantly mocked. And the way women are portrayed in these games doesn't help either.
In real life, if a girl ever fights, they usually have, like, sneakers and, like, loose shirts. But in, like, games, they have...
I have about 21 PlayStation games. And only two have a female as a protagonist.
It's for, like, a guy's appeal, not a girl's appeal.
Characters like Bayonetta do kick serious butt. It's just that her freaking final move is where all her clothing comes off and transforms into a freaking dragon. Rolling my eyes.
I'm looking for someone.
The men in these games...
Guys will be strong.
...are made to be beautiful.
Muscular.
Tall.
Cool.
And just plain awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, like, usually you have to save the girl in the game. Most games. Heroic. Yeah.
And some guy characters even seem like real people. Like Nico from Grand Theft Auto 4. He's just an average immigrant who gets dealt some bad cards in life.
Land of opportunity.
The person giggling is Karen Law, the only female employee at Uber Entertainment, a small game developing company in Washington. She's testing their new game with John Combs, the creative director. Karen Law plays online as Hellchick.
I guess looking back on it, people ask me, why did you pick a name that was Hellchick that's obviously a woman? And I'd say, well, I didn't really do it deliberately, but I'm also not going to change it just because I don't feel like I should have to hide behind my gender.
Just a couple months ago, Karen and I were playing Modern Warfare online, and as soon as she said something, lo and behold, somebody's like, whoa, Hellchick, you're a chick. You sound hot. Are you hot? And it just, like, unraveled from there, and Karen's like, mute, I'm muting. Hold on a second, I got to mute all these guys. And it's just, that's when I was embarrassed for my gender, actually.
Yeah. I can't help you out there, Mr. Combs. You're the creative director. You should have some say in what goes on.
It's really about the audience, and that's why we do what we do. The only thing that we have to do is make great entertainment, just like movie people do, just like writers for books and novels do, just like musicians do.
Man, it seems like it's going to take more than one girl saying, life is unfair, before female characters become more realistic. Ringing the doorbell.
Come on in.
Heather Chatwin and I visit each other like every other day.
Oh, I see a little bit.
Okay, no. Yeah. Seriously. She's a journalist who wrote the book Smartphone about the history of the gaming industry.
Okay, I'm loving your house.
Anyway, Heather is mad.
It's almost 40 years that video games have been around, and they're still churning out in the mainstream material that is essentially, no offense.
No problem.
Aimed at teenage boys. They say, hey, it's just entertainment. It's just entertainment. And I want to say, it's not just entertainment. You're creating culture, and culture is what shapes a society. So, like, what you're creating is actually really, really important. And what's wrong with you that you don't even take yourself seriously enough to take what you do seriously?
Yeah. We want strong women who can punch and kick and fucking punch without taking off their itty-bitty strips of cloth.
I think that it's possible to make female characters be not hypersexualized.
Karen Law, a.k.a. Hellchick, actually told me she's working on a game with a girl character who's completely colored. And she's a ninja. Maybe a step in a new direction.
But a bit of a catch-22 in that in order to make more games that would appeal to more women, you really need to have more women helping to make them. But in order to get more women to help make them, you have to have more games that appeal to them in the first place.
I'll break the cycle. Yeah.
Can I play my game?
No.
Why?
That is if I ever get a chance to play uninterrupted. Priscilla.
You're not watching TV. How are you watching TV? You're looking at the computer.
Mom, I want that game.
Creepy
Can I get it?
Do you have mine?
In between. I want to know, how do you guys maintain? You've been in so many years. How do you guys stay relevant in a world that's full of music now? That's like bubblegum raps and irrelevant messages.
I mean, like,
how can it come back where you can get the fans that really love messages and real story raps?
I mean, what it comes down to, just being true to yourself. Everybody's as unique as the prints of your palms.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And
no one identical in your print is the same in the world.
It's not to knock any artist or anybody trying to do their thing and feed their family.
Sure.
But they have to realize, like, yo, this is a business. And sometimes people, they use people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get an artist, like most albums nowadays, you might have that one song. But the real essence of an album, a true album, like, if you bring it from old school, is that one producer works with the artist, and they complete the picture. Nowadays, most albums are really compilations because you have, like, multiple producers.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it forced the artist to be in different character, you know what I'm saying, a different way.
Okay. Let's take that question to the next level. Okay. And I ask, how does music, as far as hip-hop, how does that influence films and the depiction of the media and propaganda on what they thinking, like, well, that hip-hop influence the film, so it must influence the streets and the violence on the streets.
Well, the thing with hip-hop is powerful, man. Music is universal.
It's a culture.
We can go all the way back to Africa, and they communicated with hand drums and making noises, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But hip-hop as a culture, because it's so real and so many people relate to it, you know, you got corporate America, they step in, and basically everything we create in hip-hop, they take it, repackage it, and sell it back to us.
Right.
So that's one of the things, like, our whole artists, especially indie artists, really look at, like, yo, you really have power when you're doing your thing because people are watching. And, yo, and the more you endorse products, like, yo, flip that. Endorse that product. Get in touch with that company so you can get paid. Because they ain't going to do nothing but use you.
No, they ain't nothing but going to be use you. So you might as well learn how to learn the system so you could influence it.
Like, if you're talking about Benz and Caddies and your songs and depicting your video.
They know exactly what you want.
You go to the dealer, that dealer's going to charge you full price and tax you.
Man.
You know what I mean? So you promoting something, you're going to pay extra money for it. It don't add up.
Now, I want to talk to you about the streets. You know what I'm saying?
And let's talk about the streets.
I'm Hood A-Lo right
now. Shout out to the
Hood
streets.
A-Lo. Yo, I want to know, when does someone know that they should leave the street game alone? When do you quit? When do you become a different man? Transition out of that.
I mean, some dudes never grow up.
Never.
You know, they watch too much TV. In life, you're supposed to evolve and grow. And you manifest your own energies. Like, if you got seeds, You pass knowledge down in your seeds, you bring them up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like you said, the influence of hip-hop, the depictions we get is like, oh, you got to be hard and rough to make good music.
Yeah,
it's like, nah, be real with yourself. I can respect the individual that's real with himself before he try to front.
Definitely.
People that front will always get found out.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll need a calm demeanor. Like, I don't put all my cards on the table, but, you know,
I can.
Things can happen.
I can.
You know?
So what about people?
I'm on my way.
on my way, I'm on my way. I'm on my way, I'm on my way. Get motivated, I'm on my way, I'm on my way. Where we going? It's time to roll from home to home. Blake could get out the block. Call home runs, I'm on the move. Last year, it's in the passion. But that's the reason that you scared. Because everything that I said, I would do. Musically, I'm doing it. Counting numbers, game is getting good. Because I'm feeling better. Don't care if you worry about me. Because I'm worried about that. I'm rising, maybe so. I'm on my way. We going up. Living large, no need to work. Only 20s in the front. Fly to wherever we want. First class, learning enough to know that I'm about to make it this time. I've been so patient in mind. I know the basics of every beyond it. Shit is a play. Ladies watch me, I'm the man. From Trinidad, you understand? Comprehend, I come to win. Not a plan to take a loss. But the leadership gone is on. Work so hard to survive for it. Let's keep the throne. It's time to take it home. I'm on my way to supply my own. Baby, seeing young money, but the cash looking for the gold. Pivot meaning you would not leave. They already know how I do. They can just watch me, my crew. Come by me. It's worth it just to cool at the TV. I'm a working product circulating, and I got a figure. I'm on my way, I'm on my way. Keep moving, baby. I'm on my way, I'm on my way. I'm on my way, I'm on my way. Keep moving, baby. I'm on my way, I'm on my way. Yeah. I'm on my way, I'm on my way. Keep moving, baby. I'm on my way, I'm on my way. I'm on my way, I'm on my way. Keep moving, baby. I'm on my way, I'm on my way.
Yo, real talk, y'all know what it is. It's time to step into the zone. Yo, we're driving, we're driving, we're driving, we're vibing, real talk. Yeah, it's my girl Savvy, the show is called Major League Gaming, everyone, real talk. This is WTVTA Radio featuring these local artists that are splitting the flame. Some national artists that are changing the game. Real talk, we ride, but just silking it. Real talk, it's been real, it's been real. Yo, you can continue to ride with us, you can continue to vibe with us, you know what I'm saying? All you got to do, yo, is just go to Just Silking It Radio. That's www.justsilkingit, just like it sounds, Just Silking It Radio. WTVTA Radio to do that. You can also go to the website, which is Spellbound Media. Weebly.com. Go to the player. We're on channel 8. You know what I'm saying? If you iTunes in it, doing what you do, then just go to iTunes, put in Universal Storm, go to channel 8. Real talk. WTDTA Radio definitely in the building. This is your boy Jake Dawg. And we definitely taking the world by storm. Real talk. Y'all already know what it is. Appreciate all the love. Appreciate all the support. Hey, y'all niggas keep doing what y'all do. We're going to be back tomorrow on Block Talk. You know what I'm saying? Holding it down, doing what we do best. From 9:30 to 11:30. Real talk, you know what I'm saying? And all my East Coasters out there, yo, we riding this thing till in the morning, you know what I'm saying? Yo, stop in. Send me an email. Do what you got to do. Hit a nigga up. Let everybody know that, yo, because this is what's up. This is what's happening. I'm enjoying the vibe. I'm enjoying the love. Yo, NLZ, you already know what it is, man. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, Wu-Tang ain't nothing to fuck with. Yo, hit me up, baby. I know where you at. Yo, hit me up. Let me know what's up, what's happening. This is the Urban Experience like never before. We're definitely taking you on the ride on the wild side. Real talk. Just ride with me. Just vibe with me.